Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I have my awesome, awesome, awesome special guest, John Ward, here. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing, well, much better now. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I thought you were going to say I was doing awesome, you know, that you're doing awesome.
Oh, I ruined it. Okay, do one more awesome for me, and then say, how are you doing?
You're awesome. How are you doing?
I am doing awesome. Thank you.
All right. Yes. We're going to leave all of this in here, by the way. You know, we're not cutting it and editing it because I'm just too lazy. We don't have another guest with us today. We had another guest, and unfortunately, that person is not feeling well. So we decided to have... that person will hopefully be joining us at the end to give us their, little 10-minute review /third score for this stinktometer. Excuse me. Sorry about that. We're going to be talking about the film, the 2016 film, Maradonia and the Shadow Empire. I think that's what it's called, right? Shadow Empire.
Where's the Empire and where's the Shadow? I
think the Empire was the Empire. We'll get into all of that in a little bit. This is just the introduction. So in fact, we're about to go into a little bit of some mood music, and we'll be right back. Okay, we are back. Sorry, I was like, John's giving me this look like, what just happened?
I forgot that we did that, otherwise I wouldn't have said it.
Yeah, you were just like, okay, well, I kind of paused for a second because I thought you would go along with it, but you didn't. So I was like, oh, fuck it, I'm gonna keep going. So Maradonia and the Shadow Empire. It's such a terrible title. I keep wanting to say, because there's the original, to give a little bit of background, this is actually a book series. I did not even know this when I first picked it.
You got book series.
Oh no, there's like five of them. There's five.
I know, but I read some reviews, and I don't know if you could call them books.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that. But apparently this was a vanity project, you know, for Gloria Tesh, who wrote the movie and co-wrote the movie, I think, with her dad, Jerry. And she also wrote the book series. And she is supposedly, or at least a self-proclaimed youngest author, you know. She wrote the Maradonia movies or the books when she was 12, you know, which, I mean, I don't know if that's the youngest author because she was self-published, you know, so.
That doesn't count. I know people who've done self-publishing, and I think that's great that you've done a book, but I would probably have to self-publish if I did a book, but I'm sorry. And unless your book is in Barnes and Noble or something like that.
In Barnes and Noble, at least the website.
But under self-published, though.
Right. I don't know if somebody actually picked any of them up after they were self-published or anything, but yeah, they were put out through Barnes and Noble and Amazon. I mean, I showed you how much they go for right now, just, you know, or whatever, like $200 and something or
that is absolutely ridiculous.
You're not going to spend $200 for and it wasn't even the first book, by the way, too. It's not even the first one.
I was going to comment on that when you sent me that picture. I was going to say, but I have to read the other ones before, you know, at $200 a pop before I read this one.
Well, even then, those aren't even available to get. I take that back. I found the first one is available if you want to buy it on a Nook.
Okay. See, I guess I shouldn't really criticize self-publishing because isn't independent filmmaking and going through Kanaki kind of the same thing?
It is. And I mean, does that not make them, you know, like say some kid, you know, 6-year-old kid directs a feature length film and then sells it through Kunaki. And he is technically the youngest filmmaker to make a movie. Is he, I mean, can he call himself that? Like, I think so.
I don't know because, you know, at the time, what was it? Originally, it was like Orson Welles was the youngest, and then Spielberg was the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
And like Spielberg was what, like 21? So legitimately, he was working for Universal.
Right.
But if you're an 18-year-old kid and you make your movie, and let's say it comes out at night that you're 19, and it shows at a drive-in, is he now the most youngest kid to make a movie? I don't know. I think I'd probably go off of the guy who was at Universal. I mean, that's more legit. Maybe I'm more mainstream. I mean, maybe that's why. But because these days, anybody can make a film and put it up on something. I mean,
that's true.
Most of the time, it's garbage. So
a lot of people put them out on Tubi. You know, why not?
Yeah, you know, and I have a lot of respect for Tubi. I have respect for YouTube, the people putting their movies out on YouTube and stuff. But I think it's there's a line there. It's kind of like how all these women who, like young women who call themselves scream queens. Okay, you've been in two films. You got blood on all over your, you know, your naked boobs. That doesn't make you a scream queen, you know. We have to don you the scream queen. You don't say you're a scream queen.
Right. All right. So the first book was called Maradona and the Seven Bridges, which is what this movie was basically, you know, because they do cross or they do the seven bridges or whatever. They mentioned that throughout. And so the rest. The second movie, because you even said something like, oh no, we're not going to ever get the second, like we're promised the second one and we don't get it.
No, we're not going to get that movie.
Oh, we're never going to get that. And a big deal of it. So I went into looking at some stuff online about this and I dug up some information, but I'm not sure what is accurate or what not, and I do not want to, you know, spread false rumors, you know, and everything. And so I'm just going to say all of this stuff is technically rumor unless I've heard from somebody who I know was actually on the sets and actually knew these people, right? Like, I don't want to say this and this and this is actually the truth because I don't know. I don't want to, you know, false information out there, you know, but fake news, as a lot of people call it these days, you know, but the Tesh family, what is it? Dr. Jerry Tesh actually sold his home to finance this film.
Oh, and, my God.
Yes. And he lost it from not making the money back. The budget was between $600,000 to $1 million. Where did the money go? I don't know. But that is what was claimed. Apparently, after he lost his home, his wife left him for that. and the movie was such a big pan that Gloria Tesh, the writer, star of the film, disowned it and disowns the Maradona books now, has changed her name, and now sells another book series, maybe it'll be a series, just came out in 2020. It was called The Secret of Moon Lake. And she changed her name to Sophia Nova and claims this is her first novel.
Well, as Sophie Nova, yes.
It is her first novelist. You're right. You know what? Yeah. Sophia Nova, good for you. Claiming this your first novel as Sophia Nova, but not your first novel, period. And so was it Secret of Moon Lake is some kind of other fantasy thing, you know, whatever, you know, book. That I'm guessing she's not gonna try to make it into a movie, you know, with daddy's money. Now Dr. Jerry Tesh has never directed anything else after this, you know. I wonder if he ever will. I would love to see something else he's made. I would watch another movie by Jerry Tesh. Please let him be the next Neil Breen.
I give this credit for two things. One, it's in focus, and two, you can see everything that's happening because it's during the day. So I will give him
Nope, not until the end of the movie. End of the movie, it gets really dark and I cannot see half of it. What, you know. And I'm like, I had it on my computer, so maybe that was it too. You know, I was watching it on my computer on YouTube. So, you know, by the way, yes, we watched it on YouTube. I cannot give out the link to this, so you will have to search for it, you know, to find it online, you know, but I was lucky enough to find somebody who had it. I think it was like in a Reddit thing or something, you know.
How did you find this? Because the credit, the title of the movie isn't even correct. I mean, it's making fun of it.
Right.
So why did you choose this film? How did you figure out about it? Because it does say unlisted.
Okay. Yep. It's unlisted. And so what happened was, I was talking about, like, you know, that I love bad movies, you know, on on Facebook. And I just, you know, I just have a love for them, a love for really terrible movies. You know, we try to find ones that are just top of the line terrible things, you know. We want to find the next Neil Breen. We want to find the next Tommy Wiseau. And I think I found a female Tommy Wiseau in that girl, that dark fairy girl or whatever she was. She's supposed to be a fairy, but wasn't she like a witch? I don't know. We'll get into that.
Wait, who?
The redhead girl. The redhead girl in the film.
Oh yeah, they kept saying fairy.
Yeah, they kept saying fairy, but she was so over the top that it just reminded me of Tommy Wiseau. It was just wonderful. You know,
the one behind you, right? On your screen there.
Yeah. One in the middle. Yeah. I loved her.
Yeah.
She's my favorite. She has never acted, like, that was her first movie. And that so far has been her last movie.
I wonder why.
I do too. She should keep going, you know, keep being in, you know, these movies, in Florida, where all of these, this movie takes place is in Florida.
God, does it look like Florida? I mean, it does not look like, you know, Lord of the Rings at all, which is what I think this is trying to do. The second I saw palm tree, palm tree plus Bob Glazer, I went, oh, this is shot in Florida.
Yeah, well, that was one thing. And we'll get into that. We'll get into the cast in a little bit. I'm still trying to give a little bit of background what happened. So basically what happened was I posted something about, you know, that I love bad movies. And one of the guys who was originally supposed to work on this film, and I'm not going to say who, but he knows who he is, suggested this movie to me. And the only reason I just don't want him getting in trouble, you know, or anything with the, you know, community, probably wouldn't care. It's not my name to throw out. But this person was supposed to work on the movie and saw, like, what a clusterfuck the project was that he turned. He said,
putting it lightly.
Yeah. So he said, I'm sorry, I can't work on this movie. And then he never thought it came out. And then he found it one day on YouTube. Somebody had actually just posted it, right? Well, what happened was somebody posted it and had that watermark and everything. So they got, like, I guess a screener copy of it or whatever. They posted it online and then it got taken down, right? And they got taken down. But somebody, I guess, was smart enough to, like, save it, you know, like copy it or whatever, put it, you know, save it, and then they put it out unlisted. So it's out there. And so if you want to see the movie, you can find it. It's just unlisted. And I think from what I've understood, this is why, once again, I don't want to say where to find it, because I believe the lawyers are trying to get it taken down, you know, and stuff. So
if you find it, make a copy.
Yeah.
Download it from YouTube. And I probably
should. I should probably copy it and then put it on, you know, like on a little whatever.
It's like a thumb drive or something.
Thumb drive. Yeah. So I can always have it forever.
I'll probably do that. I'll just to have it, just in case something like that, because it does have an interesting history to it. That watermark I found interesting said rendered for AFM 2015. And I'm like, really? They tried to get this into the American film market?
They probably did. I mean, that's probably part of what the budget of the movie went to, is trying to get it marketed and get it out. It's just like people watched it probably, and they're just like, because no distributor wanted it, you know. You know, if Paul and I really start doing what we had planned, which was we do want to take Sick Flick Productions to a distribution level. And one of the things we've talked about is distributing films that nobody else wants, you know, because there is a market for that, you know, which sounds weird, but there is a market for films that like are hard to find, you know, like this, you know? And so, you know, who knows, maybe we'll try to strike a deal with them. If they want too much money, then you know, that might be the problem too. They want to try to recoup their money from the $600,000 to the $1 million loss, you know, and that's not going to happen, you know, especially if you just want it out there. I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to cut your losses and say, look, at least it's out and available, you know?
Right. Well, but, when you're done telling your story, I'm going to tell mine. So.
Okay, I'm done. That was pretty much it. Just the guy said it. I found it. I was like, I even showed it to him, like, because he said he couldn't find it. So I went online, found the actual copy of it on YouTube, unlisted, sent it to him. I was like, this has got to go on this season. Like, it's just absolutely 100% has to be on. So what was your thing?
Well, some of this, you know, but so you asked me to fill in, and so I last night I scanned through maybe about a minute or two of this, and I just went, oh crap, thanks Jonathan, what did you get me into with this? And I'm just like, I don't know, do I really want to watch this? It just looks really bad. And it's, well, you know, I did say I would do it. And so today when I was at work, it was pretty slow, so it took about 4 hours in between customers and all that, but I made it all the way through. And while watching it, I thought the film was just really weird. So they keep calling them children,
mm-hmm.
when they're clearly not children. They're supposed to be high school students. And I'm looking at the girl in it, who's the sister, who's the lead actress. And all I can focus on are her boobs.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can focus on. So I'm going, why is she in a tank top with a ton of cleavage? She's got like a D cup. Why? What is going on here? The camera keeps focusing right on her boobs.
And that's even weirder that the director is her dad too. That's got to be
which I didn't know at the time, and I thought, okay, so. Is this the kids' movie? Is this a teenager movie? Is this supposed to be like an adult film? Because we're just really focusing on her boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't seem to be shy. And I'm like, wow, they're really exploiting this actress. So I'm like, I got to check out who this is. So I, you know, IMDb'd the movie and saw that, okay, so it's like, yeah, it's written by her. It's produced like she's like a producer. Her dad directed the film, and like you said, it's the only thing any of these people have ever done. So then I Googled her, and I see her posing with a whole bunch of kids' books that she wrote. And I'm like, oh, okay, so she wrote some kids' books, so maybe this is a kids' movie? But yet, why is it focusing on her boobs?
Hmm.
And then I see next to the books, all these pictures of her in a bikini. And they're all over Google. Like they're Sports Illustrated swimsuit type photos. And it's like, okay, wait, so is this like a Jekyll and Hyde thing? Is she, on one hand, this kids author that goes from bookstore to bookstore reading the children? And then on the other hand, she's this swimsuit model?
I think that, so.
And so I thought that was kind of weird. And then I'm watching the movie and I'm like, there's a scene where they go to the beach. It's her and the brother go to the beach and he takes off. She takes her clothes off, is in the red bikini and decides to go into the water, comes out of the water, sunbathes. And it's like, there is no purpose to this scene whatsoever, except for her to show her body off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, so she's exploiting herself. And once again, thinking, and that's where I messaged you, where I thought, oh, she directed this film too? Because I just looked at the last name. And then realized, oh, wait, the person who directed it is Doctor or somebody, which is weird to put as a credit. You know, Fireman Joe directed this movie. And
right.
It's like, any time that she can take her jacket off and be in that tank top and just show off her boobs, she does it. So I don't get who this movie's aimed at. I don't, and she's very good looking and she's got a great body and sorry if people are offended by that, but I don't really care because she is exploiting herself. So I'm allowed to say it. And it was really strange to me of why this was happening, especially with a family member. Like Asia Argento was talked about how weird it was to do a nude scene in front of her dad,
right,
for one of Dario's films. So it's just like, oh, it was kind of creepy once I realized that her dad did it. So it's like, this isn't just some director that's like, oh, she's hot and she, you know, let's get her in a bikini. No, this is her and her dad discussing, let's show off my body in this kids movie. It was very weird to me. What do you think about all that?
Well, I just read, and this is kind of sad. Somebody just said, rest in peace, Gary Tesh, Gloria's dad and enabler. That's exactly what they said. I'm not, you know, just saying that. It said, I feel for her, I really do. I think it's safe to say Maradona died with him. And somebody had said that they had met him in the 70s in Germany when he was preaching and singing.
Preaching.
Yeah, apparently he was a preacher and a singer. So in Hawaii. So I don't know. That's weird. I don't. It's just a lot. There's just a lot to. Okay, so I'm guessing, well, sadly, we may never see another Dr. Jerry Tesh movie. I was hoping we would. It was only 2016. When was this rest in peace thing said? It's 2018. Oh, Jesus. So, yeah.
And the preacher and enabler, that's interesting. Because you can definitely tell they several times bring up the Almighty. So there are definitely religious things in this.
Oh, there's a million. Like, this wanted to be a C.S. Lewis type, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. This
this wanted to be a Narnia type of thing. And what I noticed a lot of the times is they bring up white a lot. You know, white birds, they bring up, there's a lot of white things in this. And if you notice, anyone who's black is evil.
There's weird, a lot of weird racism shit too. There was.
So I wonder if this was a, you know, because of the whole Preacher thing that, yeah, like you said, I agree with you on the C.S. Lewis thing, is that, yeah, maybe they were going for like a Narnia type of thing. And of course, C.S. Lewis was very, you know, very religious. And I wonder if he had something, even though he hired Black actors to be in the film, if maybe he was racist. Because they are shown as being evil, and white people are shown as being, you know, very helpful, and they're the ones that want to help the children, you know, with the D cup. So,
I'm not sure. So, dang. Well, I did not know. So his real name was Gunter, but he went by Jerry for this project.
So Gunter, you know, that's a German name, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm guessing he was a German, you know, sort of makes a little bit of sense with the whole, you know, now that you're saying, you know, things, that's really strange. yeah, Jesus, there's so much to think about. And like, I understand them making this movie and then not wanting anyone to see it, you know, like after like how bad, you know, it kind of came out, and, you know, how they're probably trying to stop people from, you know, letting people see it. But I'm just like, God, man, I just wish this was out, you know, that more people could see it, you know. I think
and I wish we got a sequel to this, because I'm now kind of hearing more and more about it. I'm a little more curious, because it, you know, especially knowing that it, you know, that it's her dad. Like at the very beginning of the film, we see the brother and sister, they're hiking around the trees. She talks about the men in the cave with like the swords, and I'm like, okay, wait, is this like a sequel to something? Because we didn't see that. And immediately her boobs go in the camera frame, and mm-hmm. we see all that cleavage and stuff. That's where I went, oh wow, okay, I guess this isn't a kid's movie. And then I guess it cuts back in time.
Yeah, that confused the fuck out of me.
I think that was an accident.
You think it was supposed to be like later, that we were supposed to see like that was like an editing issue?
Yeah, because there's nothing that says like one day earlier. There's nothing then in the future of the film where it's brought up, you know, where like we see them in the cave or anything. So I think that was either a very bad editing choice, because the only purpose of that scene is to show her breath. That's it.
Well, there's a lot of... So unless
they said, let's take this scene, we'll put it at the very beginning, what happens at the beginning? None of the high school stuff matters. The bullies don't matter.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the bullies were going to be like the three fairies behind you or something.
Okay.
Like a Wizard of Oz.
I will say that they do matter in one perspective that doesn't, like, technically doesn't matter, but in some story sense they can say it does. So the girls are getting bothered by the honestly, let's start from the very beginning and go to that, and then, you know, and I'll describe my stuff in a second about that. But in the beginning of the movie, there's a lot of stock footage and stuff, and then we meet the characters, right? We meet the brother and sister, and you're right. Yeah, it starts off with them like feeling like they're being hunted by the two things that keep saying, you know, we're the humans and stuff like that. So it was really awkward and weird. And then we cut to like a classroom situation at a school. It was not even a high school. It was like a elementary school. And this teacher apparently wanted, was going to leave and leave them with another teacher, you know, and it was an art class.
Why is the teacher even there if he's going to leave? Why not just have the art school teacher the old guy that comes in with the really bizarre white hair that is a wig.
Yeah, it looks so bad. So he comes, that guy comes in, and he's talking, like, it confused the person that, you know, the guest that we might have later, because the whole time they're going, wait, was that the guy? And it was the teacher, right? Because, like, you see the guy at his house talking to himself, you know, and then he comes to the classroom, and his name was Epstein, by the way. And so I started laughing and go, oh, it's Jeffrey Epstein. With a bunch of kids. It was like Epstein or whatever, but they kept calling him Epstein, Professor Epstein or whatever. And he comes in there, and this girl freaks out. She's touching her, like, the photo of the 9/11, and she's touching the thing. She's like, my dad died there, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, why is evil evil? Why? You know, right? And I'm like, wait, what is, what? Like, I thought we were in another world before. Why are we in a classroom listening to this? Like,
that scene with her touching it makes no sense. Is that the first time she's seen it? How many times has she been in that classroom and it's never bothered her until the guy with the white fake wig comes in, and then all of a sudden it
bothers her, and then he has to tell the story of how, you know, Maradona existed or whatever, like the heavens. And my favorite part is he would be like, heavens, yeah, there was a war in heaven, No, because, like, there's a war in the heaven, war in heaven. And they're like, in heaven? And then another kid goes, in heaven? And
then, I actually said out loud that he needs to be arrested for teaching religion in high school.
Yeah, technically, yeah. So he's going around telling these kids the story, I guess, to calm the little girl down about how there's this other world that exists that, you know, and that the thing they needed were these two people from our world to go cross over to their world or something.
Children.
Yeah, their children to go cross over to them. So then we meet the two children, and they are brother and sister who are the people we met earlier, but we didn't know we didn't know who they were earlier. I thought they were boyfriend, girlfriend, and he was just being a dick to her. You know, but no, they were brother and sister. And I'm like, why is she, like, always hanging out with this guy if he's going to be, like, such a dick to her all the time? Like, I did not get that whatsoever. But I mean, because he's not nice at all, ever. Throughout the whole movie, he's just not a nice guy to her, you know?
No, he's very Rain Man like. I mean, he's not a smart guy at all.
Yeah. So he goes, and so they go to this new school, and she gets bullied, right, by these three bullies, who are just, and one girl especially, who she gets into a fight with and whoops the girl's ass. And
That was the best part, because I was not expecting her to go kick the bully's ass. Mm-hmm. I mean, she just wails on her.
I know.
And I thought that was actually the best part of the whole movie, was because you don't get that. You don't see that in regular movies.
The bully wins usually or whatever.
Now, the thing that I did think was lame is when they trip, the bullies trip the sister, and the bully looks down and goes, nice fall.
Well,
nice. What's that saying? Nice, it was like, trip, see you next fall.
Yeah.
She and I'm says, like, wow, that's the big comeback from the bully? Nice trip, see you next fall.
Yeah. My favorite part is they said something. She said something that prompted her to say something. So it was like, I forgot what the line was, but she said something like, it's like, do you like my joke? Nice ball, you know, or see you next, you know, next fall, whatever. And I'm like, wait, what? Why is she, like, telling her she's going to tell a joke to her? You know, like, why does she have to advertise that? Something like that. It was that bad. And then, so the girl punches the girl and everything. And then she becomes a, she becomes super famous.
Popular. Yeah.
Off-screen popular.
We never see her popular. The brother tells us that.
Yeah. So the brother says, you're very popular with all the kids. So I got invited to a birthday party and you're going to come with me because everybody loves you. And so the birthday party, I'm thinking, okay, there's going to be a bunch of high school kids. No, the birthday party is like 10-year-olds. He's like hanging out with 10-year-olds.
And she's like the only kid or child there, according to what they're saying. But this is, she's clearly supposed to, I mean, if she's in high school, she's probably like 16, you know? Like, and so she goes with the brother, who's probably like 16 or 17. And they end up at this party, for like 10-year-olds, where you expect like a clown to pop out.
Right. And so then somewhere down along the lines, we've been seeing all these random doves that keep popping up. And this is where I think that the high school actually made sense. And this is the only thing I can put two and two together to make it work, you know, honestly, is that, the stupid person who's watching the door. I'm like, why is there a guy watching the door? The security guard or whatever.
They have like a doorman there that has a clipboard with names on it. And it's like a 10-year-old's party. And
there's no parents. There's no parents or anything.
Yeah, there's no parents or anything. But he sees these like crows.
I think they were doves. I thought they were doves. But
doves or crows. Because they keep mentioning crows and they keep mentioning the white birds.
Right.
But whatever the birds are, they lead him to the back of the house.
Yeah, so they lead him back to the house because he's like afraid to get like shit on, I guess, or something, you know, or whatever, get attacked by these birds, which are high up in the air. They're not even swooping down. There's no like birdemic on a string kind of thing. You know,
it's weird. There is one quick shot, and I don't know if it's just bad editing, but the birds are at the door. So he goes through the door shuts. And then you see birds at the door.
Oh, that's right. Oh my God, I forgot about that. Okay.
So I don't know if it's just bad editing, like the birds are in the sky and you see the door close, and maybe through bad editing, they look like they're together, or maybe they are meant to be together.
I don't know.
Because they're in the sky, they come down to the door, and then they go back up into the sky again.
Yeah. So he's like scared. He goes inside the house. And at that time, This brother has pushed the sister into the pool, and she's just like laying there, like randomly, just floating up atop of the water.
Which I gotta say, what is wrong with him? She's, first of all, what she's wearing, you see more cleavage in that, in what she's wearing for that party, than like, why is she wearing this type of dress? And then it's at this 10-year-old party, and then he pushes her into the pool with all these 10-year-old boys.
Yeah.
And she has big boobs. And it's just like, so you pushed your sister into the pool so all these 10-year-olds could see your wet sister's breath?
Mm-hmm. So he does that. So she's laying in the pool. She's like flat out. Apparently there's a mermaid in there. We just see the mermaid swimming.
Like
the tail swimming. But apparently later she said that the mermaid had talked to her, you know, and it was a stone mermaid, which made no sense because it was not a stone mermaid. What we saw was not what she saw, apparently. The stone mermaid told her she needed to go to the lagoon or whatever, you know. And I'm like, wait, what did we miss all of that? Did they just not shoot that? And they're like, you know what? We'll just explain it later. That's what she saw while she was just laying there like
exposition.
That. You know? So funny thing is the guy comes and grabs her, pulls her up, lifts her out of the pool, puts her down. And first thing he says is like, you know, let me get first aid kit. And they, dude, like the kid was like right there with the first aid kit. I'm like, no, that does not happen. You know, like it usually takes a little longer for somebody to run up with the first aid kit. And
why do they need a first aid kit? Like he takes out a Band-Aid and puts it on her head, but she didn't hit her head. She was just floating in the water.
Yeah, she was literally just float. She didn't even drown. There was no like having to like, you know, do mouth to mouth or anything. She was just laying on the thing.
She does mention later that she almost drowned, but there's no drowning.
No,
there is no drowning.
So, goddamn, we've been talking about this movie for too long already. We're not even a, you know, but anyway, that's the only thing I can think of is the only reason is because she became popular, you know, in the at the school for fighting the bully, that she got invited to this other small little fucking 10-year-old party.
She didn't get invited to the
party. Well, no, she didn't get invited.
She was the plus one of the brother.
Yeah.
But why does that even have to be brought up? Why couldn't they just go to a party?
Yeah. Well, they got brought up because he, you know, because it was a way for that character to brag that his sister was actually cool. That's why he wants to hang out with her, you know, which he's out with her all the time anyway, you know.
So the filmmakers just knew a kid that was going to have a party on a Sunday and said, hey, can we come over and film at your party?
Oh, God. I think literally I was telling my friend that. Well, there's a scene where there's like this one, they're like, oh, it's our neighbor, whatever, right? You know, right before they're going to go to the beach. And I think he recommended the beach or something to them. And I was like, you know, that was probably their actual neighbor. And they're like, hey, let's make sure we say, like, let's say that's our neighbor. You know, do you want to be in our movie? And the neighbor's like, well, sure, I'll go to the else to do.
When you're telling me what the budget of this is, I'm amazed. But if you look at the end of it, it says shot in Florida and Costa Rica. Well, there's your $1 million right there, Costa Rica. But it's like everything in this looks like it was borrowed. Like they went, like they, hey, the Ren Faire is down the street. Let's go see if they want to be in our movie, you know, when they're done. And right. So they got like the actors from the Ren Faire. They got the night suits from the Ren Faire. They got, you know, the carts, the horse, you know, all that stuff was from the Ren
Faire. There was a zoo in the woods somewhere, I guess. I don't know, in Florida, but there's like this zoo and there's like these, all these like lions and other animals in cages and stuff. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, well, they went up to a zoo and said, can we shoot our movie? Because, okay, my favorite scene in the movie. And I was laughing my ass off so bad because there's a part where he's like has the dove in his hand, or he has the like bird in his hand. This one guy, I forgot who the character was, some guy that was just there on the journey or whatever. And he's like, go fly, tell the whatever. And as he does this, you can see another hand grab the bird and pull it away. And I was like, did you see that? Did you catch that? Like, it was so...
I did. I thought he was just handing him the bird, but you might be right that the bird just didn't fly away.
Well, no, it couldn't fly away. They're not going to let that fly away. That wasn't a bird that was supposed to fly away in real life. So they were just like, you know, fly, little bird. And they're like, here you go. Like, hand it over. Like, it was the funniest thing. I'm like, this, that just sums up the movie, like, in its,
well, yeah, because I think everything was borrowed, and even like that animal zoo is, they probably went, you know, maybe the director, Dr. what's his face, is a known doctor in town, and he calls up Joe who you know works at the petting zoo or whatever it is. And they're like, hey, can we come down and shoot for a day? And so he has his daughter playing with the baby tiger and all that. So like, whatever he could get for free, you know, he can get for free. Which, yeah. if what you're telling me, those numbers, I mean, up to $1 million, I call money laundering on this one. Yeah. I mean, there's no way this thing was $1 million. Just your picture there of the three women, that's Ren Faire. You know, they went to the Ren Faire and just said, would you like to be in our movie?
Oh, man. So real quick, I mean, we've been talking about this movie like all over the place. Sometimes we have a little bit of a structure. This particular one kind of deserves to be all over the place because the movie's all over the place itself. So apparently, the cast of this movie, the brother, Joey, is played by a guy named Michael Rodriguez, who was, he's been mainly like a grip. I mean, I guess he was an actor mainly, you know, but he's done other things like Grip. He was a company grip on Honey Boy. He was a grip on the movie As Night Falls, which was also shot in Florida by Joe Davison. If you've never seen it, I suggest watching. It's really good. It's a good indie flick. I really like that one. But he was a company grip for Honey Boy, and he was a rigging electrician on the Lovecraft Country for an episode. So, that's awesome. So, he's been a producer, and he's acted in 17 films, but like most of them you never probably heard of. The only one I think I've heard of in some way or another is a movie called Crazed, and I've heard of it because it's got Kane Hodder in it, but that's it. You know, I don't know much more about it, you know? So that's Michael Rodriguez. Then obviously Gloria Tesh stars as Maya, and she hasn't really done anything else film wise, except she was in a short called The House, none of which she hasn't, this is the only thing, this project's the only one she wrote, I believe, you know. Yeah, it's the only one she wrote and produced. The other two projects she just acted in, you know. Then Gustavo Perez, who you may actually, I mean, if you've seen a lot of like indie Florida movies, he's really big on that. The first thing I saw him in was actually recently was a movie called the Beast from the East 2 or whatever. Son of Jengel. It was the second one. Whatever. Jengel 2, you know, or whatever, directed by Conrad Brooks. He's in it.
Back in the day. Okay.
Yeah, back in 2002, I want to say. So it wasn't too back. It was 20 years ago. So I guess that's back in the day. 2002, 2001-ish time. But he's worked with a lot with, like, he was in Dirty Cop No Donut, which was done by Tim Ritter. So he's a Florida guy, you know. But he was Detective Perez, which is his last name, Perez, in the Jengel 2 movie. He was also a gambler in Ocean's 11. You know, he's been in The Punisher as a mafia thug, you know, but usually uncredited, you know. The ones he doesn't, you know, other movies that he's in, you know, he usually gets credit when he acts in these low-budget indie flicks. And he was the guy who played King Apollyon, who honestly was sort of one of my favorite characters just because his overacting worked for the movie, you know?
And you could name me every character in this, but I'd have no idea who you're talking about.
He was the lord of the underworld or whatever, who had the people around him. Do you remember that at all? Like,
oh my god, I thought he was awful. Yeah. The only thing I liked was near the end how they had the green screen up with all like the fire going everywhere. And I thought that was kind of funny.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, yeah, he was that guy. And then Bob Glazier, who you know. And stuff. You've seen him in probably a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
He was the wizard Oraculus or whatever. Oraculus, which I kept hearing Braculus, you know. So I was like, what is that? Then Monica,
I hope he got a good meal out of it.
Yeah. Has he done a lot of other stuff like that you know of?
He's in a lot of the police box? So like Sean Donahue and things.
Oh, okay. Well, poor Bob Glazier. I mean, I'm sure this isn't something he puts on his resume in the top of the list, you know. and everything.
Monica, I mean, it looks like he's having fun in it, but it I don't know, kind of looks like everybody's having fun in a way. I mean, because they're so overdoing it.
Right. They were all having fun playing the specific things that they play, right? Like, you know.
But, like, I can only imagine that sword duel that's at the end where that magic guy comes out of the sky, the magic knight, and he shows up and I think it's really funny that the brother and sister are the ones that are supposed to save everything and they don't do shit.
Yeah.
But instead the guy comes out of the sky and like the lightning bolts and he's the one who fights like
right.
The three fairies there, like all the guys that they send. I'm thinking to myself, my God, they probably rehearsed this for days. Like they had this thing down packed and they rehearsed it for days. And this was going to be the greatest duel, you know, since Phantom Menace with Darth Maul. And it just ended up being crap.
Honestly, I compare this movie, like this is how I kind of describe it as Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe meets Game of Thrones meets Lord of the Rings. If it were done by people who had no idea how to make any of those.
I would agree with you, except I would throw in the porn versions of those without the sex.
Okay. That's perfect.
Because the three fairies behind you were topless and walking around all the time, like a Roger Corman movie. Then it might be interesting.
Instead of Lord of the Rings, it's Whores of the Rings. You know,
or yes,
perfect. All right, I like it.
Game of whores.
You just say whores about everything. Lion, the Witch, and the Whore.
They all work.
They all work. Why not? And like we said earlier, it's very Narnia like. The idea that you can just walk through a cave and you get into this weird world and everything. Just didn't make any sense whatsoever, you know, like how are they all of a sudden in Meridonia when they weren't there like 2 minutes ago, you know, like,
well, because they went through the magic cave.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it just made no sense, you know, or whatever. And that cave did not look like the same cave, like that they were going into, you know, like they, you know, but maybe it was.
Oh no, it was definitely two different locations. And I love like the two guys that were chasing them with the swords are like, ha ha, we will kill them inside the cave and no one will find their body. Well, until somebody goes through the cave.
That's what I said. Like until somebody goes into the cave, then they'll find the bodies. I mean, like,
yeah,
because
on the beach.
Yeah. Like if that cave is like really literally that close to where they were just walking through, you know, like why wouldn't other people say, hey, look, there's a cave. Let's go in it. You know, and then they're like, ew, dead body, you know, like, you know,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I have a theory on this. And I think the sister, the lead actress, I think her character drowned in the pool. And this is now all in her, or she's in a coma. And this is all in her head.
This is
none of this is
it was all a dream. No, I don't
know. Kind of like how they say, like the ending of Grease, the original Grease, is they say Sandy actually died on the beach when like Travolta's character pulled her out, that she had drowned, and that the car at the end was going up to heaven. I think this is the same thing. I think that she drowned in the pool, or at least was in a coma.
I think you're just saying that because you want this to all be like a dream. You know, you don't want this to be real.
I have no basis on all of this at all. So I reject my own hypothesis.
Yes. I reject your hypothesis, sir. God, yeah, that's great, Quentin Tarantino.
Such a great line.
It is. I feel like more people should say that, but more people like...
I say it to my customers here all the time. And they have no idea what I'm talking about, but it sounds good. They don't know that it's from Tarantino.
And neither does other people. They still have no clue what we're saying right now.
such well, let's calm. Look it up on YouTube. You'll know what we're talking about.
Look Tarantino up reject, and I reject hypothesis. Your hypothesis. Anywho, there's that I don't think there's so much that happened in this movie, you know, because it's an hour and 40 fucking long movie.
It is so long, and it feels like it.
Yeah. And it feels like an hour and 48-minute movie. I kept it's on YouTube, and I kept checking the YouTube time. I'm like, oh, God, it still has an hour left, you know?
Most of the stuff you send me to watch is like 60 minutes, 70 minutes, something like that. Yeah. And when I saw that this was almost 2 hours, I almost messaged you and said, I don't know. I don't think I want to do this.
Honestly, if you had said that, I would have said, okay, and I would have found somebody else because I get it, you know, because I don't, man, Paul made us watch a David the Rock Nelson movie, Miss Werewolf, 2.5 hours long. We had to fast forward that thing, you know. Oh, and the worst part is he knew it. He said he didn't, like, whatever, like, he knew how long it was. He, you know... Me and just
did you
Jim
do the Dr. Evil,
like,
move when he was saying it? Oh, I had no idea.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, that's Paul for you. But, you know, that's like, that was our first and probably won't be our last 10 plus movie. You know, like, you know how you said in 90210 Shark Attack, it should have been like you would have rated it a 50 if you could have, or 100, you know, or whatever.
That is now my basis for these movies, and that film reflects the review that I'm going to give this. Actually,
there you go. So, given that thing, is there anything that we did not discuss that you feel like needs to be brought up?
I mean, there's a ton of stuff because it's like I was hoping at the end credits that they were going to say what they shot it on, or maybe even like what type of software that they use for editing, because this had to be like all the stock footage probably came from like a stock footage package that they bought, because right. Just none of it matched or none of it made sense, like the dragon flying over a castle,
mm-hmm.
like served no purpose at all. So like I'm curious about all the stock footage.
Well, it's supposed to show, like, I get it, like it was supposed to show that Maridonia is in, like, you know, the night's time, you know, or whatever, like those kind of Game of Thrones style thing. That's where the Game of Thrones, you know, thing, because otherwise this would not remind me of Game of Thrones at all. But like there's dragons in the fucking movie randomly that just fly overhead. But like, yeah, you're right, they serve no purpose. They don't shoot fire at anybody or even attack anybody.
No,
it just flies over.
Yes, yeah, so the editor must have had a package with all that stuff in it, and they're just like, well, yeah, make it like Game of Thrones, or make it like, you know, whatever it is, to
yeah.
you know, because we don't have enough footage, and obviously we don't have the budget for that.
Which is weird, because they have an hour and 45 minutes. If they cut out all of this like superfluous stuff that doesn't add anything to it, the birds and the, you know, and that stuff, like it would be like an hour and a half to maybe even an hour and 20 minutes, and that's a perfect length for this kind of movie. You know, it could have been cut to, you know, whatever. Of course, Dr. Jerry and Gloria and everybody who worked on this project would have been very upset, you know, if all that stuff, because this was obviously a labor of love to them, okay. you know, or whatever, you know, this was a vanity project. You know, this was a chance for her to get her Maridonia books sold more, you know, looked at more, and to get their dad to become a famous director, you know.
Because I guess he wasn't a famous doctor. So it's where is all that money? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, and I don't blame the wife for leaving after seeing this movie.
Well, and also after seeing, like, you know, after having their house get sold or whatever, that's terrible.
Well,
you know,
those are the chances you take. I mean, Kevin Smith has talked about that with Clerks, you know, how he put everything onto a credit card. So right. either the guy was going to sell the movie, or he was going to be in debt for the rest of his life.
Yep.
And it just went the opposite way of what this guy did. You know, he sold the movie, you know, and was able to pay off those credit cards plus. So one of the other things that annoyed me in this is repeating. So somebody would go to like the brother and the sister, they'd be like, you need to travel to the village of Ishtar and get the magic stone. And then one of them would go, we have to go to the village Ishtar and get the magic stone.
And then the other person will say the exact same line too. It happened, like I said, it happened in the with the kids too. The kids would repeat, you know, what the, you know, like,
yeah,
in
yeah,
heaven, in about, heaven. Yeah. We call that in Indie Film Cafe is breening. When you do that, Neil Breen is famous for having. I don't know if you've seen any of Neil Breen's movies, like Fateful Findings, or
a couple. Yeah. I don't know which ones, but I know I've seen a couple.
Yeah. So if you watch his movies, he repeats himself over and over again, you know, randomly. And so when there's obvious repeats, you know, of the same line, you know, over again or whatever, either through different characters or the same character, it's called breening, you know. That's what we labeled it as. So, oh man, they're really breening now.
See, and I like repeating, and I hate to say this these days because David Mamet is such a fucking nut job, but David Mamet back in the day, he created that stuff. He turned fuck into an art form. You know, when he would do repeated dialogue, it was brilliant.
Right.
And that was one of the great things about that film Identity with John Cusack. Is Cusack would repeat himself, and it's done, and that's about Mamet, but it's done really well. So you can do repeated dialogue or even repeating yourself if you're a good writer.
Yeah, that's the thing, you have to be a good writer. And unfortunately, I don't think Jerry and Gloria were the greatest of writers. Now,
no.
You know, even though she had books sold or whatever, I could write a novel of me talking about spaghetti all day and shit, and just put it out, you know, just keep writing every day and just, you know, eventually put out a fucking novel about spaghetti. But does that make me a good writer? You know, like,
no.
Right? No. Especially not if I actually, I'm just not talented for that, you know. Now, I am interested in reading one of her books at some point, not spending that much money for it. If I can find it for like $5 or something, I would definitely love to check out what she did, you know. And like I said, you could actually get it from Nook for like $6, you know. I don't have a Nook, but if I ever got one, I'll buy her first book and read it. And I'll let you know if it's, you know, because I've heard terrible things about it. Like, I've read online that her books are just got awful. There's actual podcasts about the books. You know, if you look up Nerdonia, there's book reviews, you know, of them. So I'd love to take a look and listen to that and find out. Because, I mean, look, if she wrote it when she was 12, fucking A, dude. Congratulations. I wrote my first sitcom pilot when I was fucking 13. That was the first thing I ever finished. And I was proud of that shit. When reading it years later, I was like, good God, I'm glad I never tried to do anything with it.
Well, yeah, just because you wrote something at 12 doesn't mean that it's good. You know, take it and put it, you know, take it and put it up on the refrigerator with a magnet or something.
Exactly. You know, there's a world of difference of being a father who says, wow, that is great. You are wonderful. Keep going, you know, to a father that says, oh, my God, that's wonderful. I'm going to spend $1 million and make this into a movie. You know, that's just bad parenting right there. You know, like, but, you know, I don't know. I feel kind of bad because I don't want to seem like. I think that like Gloria Tesh / what is her name now? Nova or whatever. All right. Hey,
what happened there?
I don't know. It's just, I didn't even sent you a message. It just cut off on me, the internet, you know. So sorry.
You were frozen on my end for about a good minute.
Yeah, well, your face was the same face, and I thought you were just listening very intently.
I well, to be honest, I wasn't moving because I was hoping you would come back on. So I just kind of stayed still, and I'm like, well, should I turn this off? Should I?
I don't know, but anyway, I'm really hoping that, because it just said recording in progress. I'm hoping it's you know, it's recording this now, and then, you know, that I'm sure that saved, you know, that other part, you know.
Oh yeah, I think as long as you don't get out of it, yeah.
So yes. Anyway, that was a weird. Sorry about that, folks. We have some technical. I think even Zoom right now is saying, "Hey, come on, let's move it on. Let's get it over." I think we went a little over the hour already. So we'll go into our scores in a little bit after just like one more thing of like just making sure there was a lot to go with this movie, you know. So I just, all I want to say is I feel like, you know, I hope that she continues, Gloria continues to improve and to work on her craft and to you know, to do what she loves to do. I don't want to seem like I'm hating on her or anything. I'm glad she did this, you know, and obviously she felt, you know, this was a fun story to, you know, do. So, I mean, good for her, you know what I mean? Like, that's all I want to say.
I'm going the opposite.
You're going the opposite?
If this represents what she does, then I hope she stays as a swimsuit model. So, granted, I have not read any of the books. I do not know her or her family at all. I can only go off of what I've seen with this film. And if this represents what she can do, then please just stay as a swimsuit model.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm sorry. Hey, it wasn't me. I didn't say it. Then again, I bet Paul would say the same exact thing, you know. But you know what? But actually, maybe not, because Paul loves those kind of those terrible movies more than you do. So there you go.
This is a real thin line, kind of like that. Was it the animated one that we watched, the Krampus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Krampus one. Krampus versus Sasquatch, or what? Or Bigfoot? Bigfoot versus, yeah, Krampus.
That's it. It reminds me of that type of thing. That, you know, that, but those that I had more of a curiosity at. This, you know, I get, okay, so she's a 12-year-old kid. She does these books. You know, that maybe the dad sees some potential. They go out and they make this movie. And if this is the best that they could do with maybe the money that they had, and they're like, look, it's not great, but maybe we could sell this to Netflix as a kid's show, you know, like a kid's series. You'd obviously have to remake the entire thing.
And cast better actors, yes.
Better actors, better effects, you know, they use the idea of the books or whatever it is. They bring her on as a producer, maybe him on as a producer, something like that. Okay, fine. You know, you do what you could do and hope to get, you know, George Lucas made THX 1138 as a short film first, and then he made it as a feature. Mm-hmm. So, okay, if this is that type of idea, then good for them, you know. But if this was, you know, oh man, we made the next Game of Thrones or the next Narnia. No, dude, you failed completely.
Yep. There you go. All right. Well, now we're going to go on to our scores, our stinky score, stinkometer. And so for the people at home who are not familiar with the stinkometer, I don't know why you're listening to this episode, because this is a way after, but you know, whatever. Maybe you're just interested in knowing what our thoughts on Maradonia are, and you still never heard Indie Film Cafe. So at Indie Film Cafe, we have a stinkometer rating system. It is a 1 to 10 rating system, 1 being very good, 10 being very, very stinky and bad. Or if you feel like you need to kind of, you can't tell which one you want to go with, like say you want a 5, but you're thinking maybe a 6, you know, 5.5, you know, rating. So that being said, I wanted so bad to give this a 10. I really do. And it's the only, I'm going to give it a 10. Fuck it. Because it is just, it is so ineptly made that I can't like not give it a 10. Like I've given things, you know, that are way better than this a 10, you know, and that's gotta be pretty bad. So I'm going to give this a 10.
Before I get my rating, I'll ask people who watch this video, if you've read the books, if you've seen the film, comment below. Because I'm curious if people even know what this is. Mm-hmm. Jonathan, this may surprise you. I'm going to give this film a 1.
Are you joking on me?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, wait. I was like, this may surprise me. Yes, it surprises the hell out of me. But like, wait, what?
I am going to give this a 10. I'm giving this a 10. I was originally going to give this something like a 9 or a 9.5.
I thought about that too. At the
beginning. Well, because it's in focus. You can see what's going on. You know, it's not like somebody shot this at night with their car headlights. So it's like, okay, the camera person at least knew what they were doing. But I just can't. I can't give this. It's got to be a 10. It has to be.
And see, that was my thing. Because when I was just saying it a second ago, I thought about it and I was almost going to give it a 9 or 9.5. But the more that I thought about it, I just can't do that. Like, it's too ineptly made.
It's almost like when you said, you know, if you had Nook, you'd give $6. I think that's even being too generous. Like if you could find a torrent of her books, I would download that and at least skim through it to see what they're like. But I wouldn't want to give this any money at all. You know, I don't, it's just not, I would be very interested in sitting down with the daughter, the actress in this.
Oh, you just, as long as she's wearing a bikini, right? She has to be wearing
as long as she's wearing, yeah, the bikini, preferably the red bikini. I would be okay with that. Yeah. So that'd be all right. But no, I would be curious of you know, now, you know, since the dad is, you know, has died, I'd be curious to talk to her, especially since she disowns it. Of please, you know, what's going on with this? You know, what is this?
Well, I wonder if the dad is dead. I mean, somebody said that, but I have no other proof that he's actually passed away. There's no actual, like, I can't find an obituary right now that says, I found an obituary for a guy, some other guy, and it seemed like it might be his, like, his father or something, you know, because it was, like, a 90-year-old, you know, that passed. I'm pretty sure a 80 something year old man did not direct this movie. I would just imagine, you know, maybe not.
Yeah, because he would have to be, if this was like 2014 or whatever, the daughter's, you know, she's probably like 18 or something like that when they made it, 17 or 18, maybe a little bit younger. But yeah, he's probably then in his 30s.
Yeah.
So he might be now, you know, late 30s, early 40s.
Wait a minute. So maybe she did, because there's these things about hold on. There was a GoFundMe for funeral arrangements. Beloved Dr. Jerry Tesh's, oh Jesus, why do I have to verify myself?
Well, it's unfortunate that he that he did die. You know, you don't want, even though it's a bad movie, you don't want to wish that on somebody, you know?
No, you don't, but why?
Okay. Because people don't set out to make bad movies. So, you know, they just end up that way.
Okay, well, apparently he did die. Damn, there's a GoFundMe. They raised like almost $3,000 for his funeral services and stuff. But yeah, it was by Gloria herself. Tried to raise the money. So, but damn. So yeah,
apparently. I think this could be an interesting like disaster artist type movie.
You mean The Making of Maradonia?
Yeah, but then, you know, selling the house and the mom divorcing him and the daughter not wanting to have anything to do with it and changing her name. This could be interesting, you know, him directing the three fairies behind you and then, you know, overacting and all that type of stuff and him going, God, that's perfect. Oh, God, that's perfect.
I feel we had that too many times. Like, you know, I think you were even the one who said you were like frustrated with the Dolemite movie because it was the same thing as Ed Wood, you know.
It pretty much was beat by beat Ed Wood.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've already got like Disaster Artist as Ed Wood also, you know, in a way, but more like the guy's still alive, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the funny thing is that, you know, probably the Dolemite film and I know Badass and then Disaster Artist are probably really what happened, you know, to a point. Well, Ed Wood is not what happened.
Actually, Ed Wood is somewhat of what happened.
It's not exactly.
I feel like we could get into this on another discussion. I feel like.
Yeah, it's kind of like dragging the Bruce Lee story. It's what you want Bruce Lee to be, but it's not.
Yeah, there's things that they took liberties, you know, on
Ed Wood. They took a lot of liberties, you know, the Bela Lugosi had a wife at the time and they never bring up his
that's
son,
true,
and there's a lot of stuff in there that they left out, but Ed Wood is still a great movie, so yeah. But it's I think almost a kind of the template for a lot of these films.
Yeah,
you know.
And so anyway, yeah, it would be cool, but I don't think we could ever get the rights to make something like that. I don't think anybody could get the rights. So I don't think Gloria would allow anybody to make a movie about her father and, you know, all this other stuff. But, oh, well.
Well, this film would have to get some sort of cult status, you know, like.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then she would write the book about it. And then we would buy the rights to the book.
Yeah. She'd have to get a ghostwriter like Greg Sestero did. You know, Greg Sestero had another writer come in and, you know, help him with the writing.
Oh, they all do. They all do. Yeah. They never write their own stuff. They always have that other person.
Yep. Well, thank you so much, John. So join us. There'll be an extra 10 minutes or so, I believe, of extra stuff listening, maybe longer. I don't know how long. It's going to go on because we haven't recorded it yet, but there'll be some extra stuff with our extra scores. So we'll find out, we'll figure out if it is a 30 or if it's a little less than a 30, but it can't be less than 20 now. It's already 20, you know, so we'll find out. And there's no way anybody's going to give this a 1, you know, so we can count that it's going to be high up there, but I don't know. It may get a 9 or an 8 or a 10. We'll see.
Well, if your guest coming up is being too nice, then maybe we'll get a 9. But yeah, you know, I decided not to go Alien Beast on this. So even with my two positives with it, that you can
you almost it, did with the 1. And as a joke, that scared the shit out of me. I'm like, wait, I was having Alien Beast flashbacks. I was for a second. I was like, God damn it, John, you're doing it again. You didn't do this for Totem. You didn't do this for what was the other one you did this year? God, what was the other one you did? You did something else earlier with Knights of the City. You gave a 10 to Knights of the City.
Oh, did I?
I believe.
Yeah, that was not a good movie.
That was not
Coda one you was bad too.
But yeah, you were adamant about hating on Knights of the City.
Well, I became more used to doing this with you guys. So I think with like Alien Beast, I just wasn't 100% sure on how mean I could be. But
trust now, us, now you could be mean.
Yeah, well, especially after was it 90210 Shark Attack? Now I kind of base everything off of that.
Yeah, that was the harshest one, you know. But yeah, you gave 10 to Knights of the City, which I'm like, which shocked Paul because he's like, he was reading the Stinkometer scores. I sent him the list of ones that we've already done, and he hasn't heard that podcast yet. And he was like, wait a minute, you and Madeline gave it like a 3 and a 3.5, and he gave it a 10?
It's not a good movie. It's
Lies is a great movie. It's fantastic. And it's got some great...
No, it is not. Great music. Breakin' and Breakin' 2 and Rappin', the film that had to happen. You know, no way.
All right, we're done. Okay, for tonight. Thank you so much, John. You'll be thank back. I know you'll be back for one more at least. If not, who knows? You know, you seem to be the go-to guy. Hey, do you want to come do a podcast? You're like, sure.
Sure. Except
now you might be a little bit more carefully select about it. Like, oh man, do I really want to spend an hour and 45 especially minutes watching this? Almost
2 hours. That's hurting. That's really painful.
Especially like you. And thank you, because this was almost like really last minute. So for you to be like, sure, well, I'll do it.
I'll make this quick. I wanted to watch it last night, but The Batman was on HBO, and of course that's almost 3 hours, and I couldn't even make it through that with falling asleep. So I'm like, shit, I got to watch this movie at work tomorrow. And one of my managers sent me 75 rent increases, so I had to fold 75 pieces of paper, I had to stuff 75 envelopes, I had to stamp 75 envelopes, and so. It basically took me the length of the movie. So I had that going, my little system of stuffing these envelopes as I'm watching the film. So I think if I just watched it without doing anything, I probably would have died. But because I had the envelopes going, I
saved could, your life, you know, man.
I could watch the movie and be like, okay, I got 50 more to go. Okay, I'm good. So, you know, they weren't fitting in right, so I had to redo them. And so that kind of saved me from this movie. So stuffing envelopes was my savior.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, at least something did. at least you were like, I can't do this. I'm done. Sorry, Jonathan. I can't be on your show. And I'm like, damn it.
Okay. No, so if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So I'll just figure out a way of getting through it.
There you go. Well, thank you for getting through it. And thank you all for getting through this. This was a lot longer. It kind of made sense that this is the longer episode for a movie that's a long fucking movie, you know, or longer movie.
Than we didn't even scratch a lot of that.
We did not. I mean, there's so much in this movie. We could have talked for like 3 hours about this movie. And we would have scratched the surface of things, you know, or whatever. But you know what? It's okay. Go find Maradonia if you can. I suggest people watch it. I mean, if you want to see something so ridiculously bad, you know, this could be the next Birdemic, you know. Like, I think even Birdemic's better than this movie, you know, for sure.
Oh, I love Birdemic, as I told you before. So yeah. that's to me, comparing something to Birdemic is like this is almost insulting.
Well, how about it's better than The Room? No, I mean The Room is better than this. That there you go.
I don't have the love for The Room that people have. Yeah. I only watch The Room because of The Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
And I hated watching The Room. So I don't get people's fascinations with it. To me, it's just a shitty movie. I prefer the making of the movie.
It's more fun to watch it with people, trust me. You know.
I can see.
And watching on Riff Tracks is a lot of fun. Watch that in the theater, you know, and that is that with an audience is just the best. It was a great time. So I would suggest that. But anyway, watch this with some friends, get drunk, hang out, have a fun time, watch Maradona. You'll be laughing your ass off. I
Oh.
was laughing my ass off like left and right because of how bad
You
it was.
will be passed out if you want to do a drinking game and how many times they repeat the dialogue. I mean, it's just take a shot for each time one of them repeats the line and you'll be gone
Or
by the end of the movie.
take a shot every time they punch in on her cleavage, you know.
Believe it, and
And
it's a lot.
yeah, so there you go. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. Get ready for the other part of the interview, the other part of the show review, and join us. Well, I'll probably end it there, you know, saying all this extra stuff. So thank you guys, and see you in a bit.
Bye.
All right, and we are back. So the guest I wanted to have before, unfortunately, couldn't make it. But we have another guest who, so let me explain this real quick. I was discussing to Paulie Presenza, which we'll introduce him, but I was explaining to him that there's a you know, if he wanted to really watch a horrible movie and rate and review it with us, he can have the pleasure of watching Maradona. But unfortunately, and then even I think it even broke Paul, you know. He got really mad at me, and he can explain some of that stuff to you too. Hey, welcome, Paul A. Presenza.
Maradona, what a shitty film. But it's kind of a cheat though, because this isn't out in public. There's a version that's out in YouTube, which is the only way we were able to see it. But trust me, I looked and looked and looked and looked. And not only is it not out there, I don't think it's ever going to be out there. I think the people who's made the movie or what's left of them have paid lawyers to make sure that the internet is scrubbed of this particular movie, because apparently when it did finally go out for public consumption, it was universally panned as the giant piece of crap that it actually completely, totally is.
So when we do
So
our when you do you know when we do our review on the website, and you say how to find it, you're not allowed, you can't tell people how to find it, because
no.
they'll have to scrub the internet themselves and try to figure it out like we did, because that's the only way you could do it.
I mean, for all we know, they might send stormtroopers out to break our legs if we post anything about this particular movie.
Well, we're posting it. That's going out there. I don't
But
care.
it's a bit of a cheat because there's no way I could possibly have known about this movie's existence, which is
Well, it's on
why I put it in here.
IMDb. It's on IMDb.
Huh?
Like it
Yeah,
exists.
but I don't sit there and read Internet Movie Database,
That's true. And
not
you
all the
don't really
time.
know most of the people that acted in it or anything, you
With
know.
the exception of one or two people, surprisingly, yeah. And
You
I got a
do.
few. Oh, I got a want something to
All
say
right,
about
you go right ahead.
that. But yeah, this. I mean, it's one of the worst forms of vanity pieces you will ever see in your life. And you know, clearly there are a lot of bad vanity piece movies that are out there. We see them all the time. Most of them are trash. Every now and again, you might get one that actually works if you manage to get somebody who's actually talented. But for the most part, they're basically ego stroking. You know, and sometimes they're bad, but they're kind of fun because they'll approach it from a particular way. Like a Neil Breen movie is a Neil Breen movie, and there's nothing else like it. It's still a vanity ego piece, but he does it from so outside of the box that you can't help but like it because it's actually fun. There's nothing fun about this movie.
I'm surprised you survived all of it, you know.
Well, you know, it's bad. And the thing is that it becomes torturous because it just doesn't get any fun. It doesn't get any, you know, good at all. There's not a lot of anything to say about this other than it's just interminable. But yeah, so it's this guy, Dr. Jerry Tesh, who is some kind of weird, you know, televangelist person who also set up a whole bunch of these false donation drives that he had money from. And he, you know, like a lot of rich people, he simply went from one bankruptcy to the other, where he was cheating people out of money. And he grew his family up like that too, so that his daughter, Gloria, was some kind of weird self-entitled, you know, person who likes to cheat. And I guess they decided to put all their eggs in one basket and decide that she was this wonderful, wonderful writer who was going to become the next Aragorn or the next, I don't know, Lord of the Rings. And yeah, not even close. I mean, she's just terrible. By all accounts, her writing is miserably, amateurishly, childishly bad. But that didn't prevent them from deciding to sink all of their money, and I do mean all, I mean from the family house on down, into this production, something like $600,000, $650,000. And they actually hired some folks who actually had some experience in the biz, although clearly they didn't vet them, because some of the people who were involved in this movie, I would have thought a televangelist would not want themselves anywhere near. But I digress.
Like who? Like who?
Well, you remember the guy who's playing the wizard Oraclus?
Yes.
That's Bob Glazier.
Yep.
Do you know Bob Glazier?
He's a Florida guy, if I'm correct.
He's a Florida guy. He, and I'm sure that's pretty much the reason why they hired him, because he was a local actor. What they probably don't know is Bob Glazier's been in a bunch of sketchy-ass movies, some sketchy-ass horror movies, pretty much on the pornographic side. I have some of them. That's why I know him. Some of them are really sketchy, dude. Like,
are these like from the Sleazebox guys or something?
Oh, yeah, among other things. So, yeah, it's the kind of stuff that I intend to show you and Kate when we finally get around to that extreme horror kind of stuff.
Oh, she'll know those people. Like,
she will, yeah. I'm sure. And there's a few other folks in there, too. The thing is, because G. Gary Tesh is such an amateur and such an idiot and so completely talentless as a director, he manages to make sure that every single actor looks terrible. You know, clearly there were no extra takes. Clearly he didn't care how lines were delivered. Clearly he only cared about, you know, making this thing, you know, just set up the camera and let it go. And that's it. If you see any of his, if you do any research, because of course, you know me, I get obsessed and I go down the rabbit hole pretty easy.
Oh weird God, you were sending me like lots of shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, but if you go to some of his like, now defunct sites, because he's dead, fortunately, but there's some of his like animated and weird like little movie like weird televangelist video things. They're the same quality. They're the same kind of shit. So he was just doing what he thought he knew and expecting that to be an actual Hollywood type movie. So don't ask me how or why, because I kept thinking while I'm watching this, there is no way anybody with a sane mind and an ounce of respect is going to see the stuff that's coming out of this and say, yeah, really good. Every single scene is a complete fail in every kind of way. It really is. I mean, okay, you can see them, mostly. You can kind of sort of hear them. Although there are a number of times, I don't know if you've noticed, but they're dubbed in because clearly they didn't have microphones or they didn't work or the sound was shitty or they caught all kinds of shit in the background. Like that one scene where they're on the stone beach and they're getting in all kinds of noise from animals and insects and other things. And it's just drowning out the dialogue. Mm-hmm. Very full four. So yeah. Clearly, these guys didn't do extra takes. They didn't care about coverage. They didn't care about really anything. Mm-hmm. But the worst sin of all was to just not, you know, control the actors, to not say, hey, you might want to dial it back a bit. You might want to try a different take. You might not want to go, you know what I mean?
Well, Okay. That's a good point. But first of all, like, I guess, you know, it was Jerry Tesh's first movie, or Gary Tesh. I think that's how I saw somebody pronounce his name, Gary Tesh, you know. Mm-hmm. It was his first movie. He'd never done as far as I know, he never directed anything else. So, you know, you're going to have bad acting in your first movie, you know, no matter what, because you don't know how to tell somebody that stuff, you know. But then again, that's why.
Unless the man has never seen a movie before, surely he understands that people going over the top like that is generally not the way it's done.
Yeah, especially for a serious movie like this was supposed to be.
Exactly. You know, setting a tone. It's ridiculous. I'm thinking primarily of the quote-unquote evil fairies. And, you know, oh, yeah. Do they get a taste of our powers? Oh, my God. That was just like, ugh.
That drove you crazy, huh?
That was so bad. It went all the way over to good and then right around to bad again.
Gee, thank you, John Ward. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and not in a good way, in a I'm so embarrassed for these people way. But, you know, everything was very amateurish and very sixth grade school-y kind of thing. And you know, again, this is on the directors. Now, the thing is, like I said, he hired actors, people who were local. Why didn't he hire an assistant director or somebody to help him, somebody to guide him, somebody who knew some technical stuff, you know, somebody who can help him set up shots, somebody who can say, that guy might want to try the take again, you know, stuff like that.
He probably didn't think he needed it, you know, like he thought that he could do it all himself.
And what does that tell you? I can just make a Hollywood movie all by myself with no background.
Yep. Well, he's a doctor, so, or something, right? I don't know what he's a doctor of, but he's a doctor.
I presume doctor of divinity. God knows how legitimate that is. Probably not much.
Divinity.
I listened to one or two of his little sermony kinds of videos, and it's just raving nonsense. It's extreme religious crazy shit that mainstream religion would go like, "Hey, what the fuck are you talking about?" But you know, down in Florida, there's all kinds of shit like that, and all you have to do in order to get the money from people is to exploit their hopes and dreams and give them all kinds of nonsense that, you know, of all kinds of different shit, and people will just happily give you their money. And he was getting away with it for quite a while. And then, you know, for whatever reason, he just decided that the daughter was the golden child. Now, I will say this about Gloria. She's a fine-looking woman. And if she had decided to, like, become, like, an actress or a model, and if she had actually worked at her craft, she might actually be something or be useful.
Mm-hmm.
No? But... How do you survive? How does an acting talent agent look at what she has done and say, yeah, I can't work with that?
You know, she becomes a rapper. Like, apparently she's become Goldilocks. Goldilocks.
whatever the easiest shortcut to money is, I suppose.
Well, you're right. Yeah. She's sort of like the father.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just it. You know, I guess neither one of them have an idea of what it actually means to be, a filmmaker, whether you're an actor or a director or a writer or whatever. It's not easy. Okay. Hey, many of us first time people or people who would love to make movies think you can just whip it up. You cannot. And it's a very big fine line between people who, you know, have fantasies about making a film and those who actually do it. Even people who end up making a shitty movie like this, fair fucks, they actually put it together. That in itself is an accomplishment, okay, that most people can't get beyond. So I will give them all credit for that.
But I mean, it had a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Well, yeah. It had an end-ish. It's to be continued, of course.
Well, yeah, and then that's the sad thing because, you know, you shouldn't ever do that for your first film because you just never know if it's ever going to be continued.
No. You know. Well, yeah, I call that the Remo Williams effect because we were promised more Remo Williams. And of course, that never happened.
Right.
But yeah, just it's just bad, bad, bad on a stick. And the, like I said, and pretty much in every aspect, I mean, the costumes were bad, the backgrounds were bad, the CGI was bad, the sets were bad, the props were bad, everything was bad. The writing was bad. The language, the dialogue was terrible, stilted and ridiculous. You know, I love, you know, you can tell when it's amateur hour, when people are talking to each other about people they already know and have presumably known for years, yet they still must tell them their name. This is my brother, Joey. I told my brother, Joey. Over there is Joey. Hi, my brother. Your name is Joey. We get it. We got it way, way back at the beginning. But for some reason, you've decided we have to hear his name constantly. You know, it's a mistake that you make in eighth grade when you're writing stuff for the first time.
Right.
You know, I'm sure you have writings from grade school that you don't want anybody to see. I sure shit know that I do.
So I kind of like her, got published at a young age. I got my first sitcom I ever wrote, which probably wasn't long enough to actually be a sitcom, called Joey.
Nope.
By the way, so funny. It was not about Joey from Friends. It was a guy named Joey who, I think he was a lawyer or something, or, you know, he worked in an office. I don't even know if he had a specific job, but he ended up in jail at the end of the thing. That's all I remember. My sister had that published in her underground magazine because she thought it was really cute that her 13-year-old kid brother wrote a script. And I was excited then. Years later, I refound that, you know, magazine, looked through it, found Joey, and I was like, oh God, cringe. People saw this. People saw this. Oh my God. But I hope it doesn't even say written by a 13-year-old. It should have fucking said that because it was god awful.
You know, but that's the thing. I mean, everybody goes through that, but you don't publish it. And you certainly don't run around and tell everybody in the world that you're the world's youngest novelist. That's horseshit. Okay. She self-published it, or he published her thing, which basically anybody can publish if you're self-publishing. Okay, it's not like it went to a publishing house and a literary agent saw this and was like, oh my God, this is great. Which, by the way, if you notice, if you ever find that one trailer, it's got that one literary agent who's like, oh, this girl, she's the youngest author. She's written all this stuff. She must be worth millions of dollars. No, you actually have to read the shit. And when you do, you're going to notice that it's clearly garbage. You know what I mean? So it was a scam from the beginning, basically.
I don't know, man. I can't find a copy of it without it being like $250 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, it's like one of those things. As soon as it becomes popular because of how bad it is, everybody wants it for
the wrong
reason.
It's out of print. So the only way you can get it is Amazon used and new. And they're not going to sell it for like $5, you know, because that shit's hard to get.
I did come across a couple places, if you're interested, for like $50 or $60, and I found a few swap places.
Sorry, not even 50. It's not even, no. I mean, you can buy it for 50 and 60. I'll borrow
it.
Well,
I'm not touching that.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I love bad movies. I don't like bad
movies. If it were like $15 to $20, I might take that on. But at 50 or 60, No, I have to be very careful these days. Because literally everything is getting too expensive. Even getting movies from people these days
is expensive. Yeah. No. If it were someone like Ed Wood or Ray Dennis Steckler, I might cough up the money. But, you know, Gloria Tesh, I'm sorry. No, not going to happen, Gloria. sorry. I wish you luck as your new career, whatever it is now, as a homemaker and rapper. So the other thing that gave me tons and tons of indigestion and pain with this is, of course, you know me, I love fantasy novels and fantasy stuff in general. You know, I grew up with that. The thing that saved me from being a little, you know, punk in jail was the fact that at a very early age a teacher gave me Tolkien to read at, like, you know, third grade. when I was out breaking windows and carving my names and desks and kicking nuns and being a juvenile delinquent, and I had no interest in school and certainly nothing in literature, they found the Hobbit. They get that's why it's my favorite book. And I read The Hobbit cover to cover, and I absolutely loved it, and it's what got me into fantasy to begin with. So
interesting. Dark is Rising is my favorite book. And that was because third grade or whatever, my dad used to read me books to get me to go to sleep, you know?
Oh, okay.
And he read The Dark is Rising. And we found out later it was a whole series. We didn't know that, but we were just, he just read the book and it was amazing. It was such a great, great movie or great book. And then the movie later was terrible. They didn't even call it The Dark is Rising because, you know, it was that bad. But
so
anyway.
Are you upset that he didn't read you the Narodonia series instead?
Well, sadly, that series wasn't around when I was 13, you know. Gloria is younger than I am, and she was, what, 12 or 13 when she made it. You know what would have been interesting? Who got – because if you actually watch some of those videos – there are like little kids that say they love the Maridonia books. And I don't know if they're just paid to say that.
I'm sure they were.
They were paid to say that, you think?
I'm sure they were. That's all part of the scam. You know, she's, in fact, if you go on, you do more research, you find out she paid people to give positive reviews on Amazon. She paid people to give positive reviews on all kinds of different things.
Wow.
So yeah. So this, and again, I can't for certain say that it was definitely her. Could have been her father. Could have been her father mostly behind all this, but it wouldn't surprise me if she was also involved and also tagging along. Because it seems like she's gone on and continuing it in her own way. But I don't know. I mean, clearly this is, you know, an unfinished, really, 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 really bad movie made by people who had no idea what they were doing. And right. I can only imagine what people like, even Bob Glazer, who is in some of the shitty, you know, low, low, low micro budget crap movies, probably saw this and got it and was like, oh, my God, is this the worst thing I've been in? I think so.
Well, it's funny because I bet when they were doing it, they thought they were going to be making art and they'll be making this great thing because it costs so goddamn much. You know, if it costs that much, you know, then it must be, you know, then it must be a great movie. You know, that's what people think. But some of the best movies cost like $5,000 and some of the worst movies cost $500 million. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you spend as long as you treat it well.
Right. And what are you spending the movie, the money on? I mean, you know, I look at poor Ed Wood. Poor Ed Wood, you know, all he would have is two nickels and a ball of lint that he found in his belly button, if that. And he made bad movies, but most of that you can blame, in addition to the bad writing, is the fact that he didn't have the money to do it. In fact, he didn't even have the money to get his movies, you know, exposed or whatever it was called back then.
Developed,
you know, I mean, movies that would sit on the shelf because he couldn't pay for them. This guy had the, whatever he sold his house for. Like I said, I think it was something like $600,000 or something like that. Where did that money go? Where did it go? You know, they had a guy who had horses. The horses were real. The horses were okay. That's about it. You know, just terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. So is there anything else you dug up and found out or whatever that you want to share?
There's actually a lot of stuff. I don't know that I want to go into too much detail. There's a lot out there. Everybody can sort of do it on their own, and I'll probably put up a few things, on our website when we end up doing the review and putting it on there, because you know I put links and I put things on there.
Yeah, so you can add some extra stuff if you like.
Yeah, because I can't really add the normal stuff that we normally would get. You're not going to get a poster, you're not going to get a t-shirt, you're not going to get a mug.
You might get a poster. I think there's a poster.
Really?
I think there is. When I looked it up, I think there was that. That's about one of the only things, you know.
Are you going to get the poster?
I don't think a poster is able to be made unless I went to Staples or something.
Yeah, you could download it. Digital version and hang it on your wall.
Well, let's, you know what, if we can get one of those little ones or whatever and put it up on the IFC wall, I'll do that. You know,
I just want to sit Chris Seaver down. You know, he had such heartburn about his movie, the Quest for the Egg Salad. I'm like, dude, that is Tolkien compared to this movie.
That is, I mean, that he loves Tolkien. You know, he loves that genre. He loves fantasy. He loves that kind of shit. Like, he went crazy for the Lord of the Rings, I believe, right? This chick probably doesn't know the Lord of the Rings from Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't know shit. So she, you know, made a movie. Well, she wrote a book when she was 12, based on her whatever knowledge of fantasy. And then
stealing stuff from Narnia and Lord of the Rings and other sources.
That's what it's felt like, Narnia and Lord of the Rings. Yeah, all of them mixed into one big fucking story. Which,
the sort of thing you do when you're a kid because you don't know any better.
Right. Exactly. Like me and my sitcom. I didn't know shit. You know, I didn't know how to
my writings.
You know, yeah. But now, like, when you get to be about the age that she was to make the script for the movie, you know a little bit more and you should probably treat it better.
I mean, the smart thing to do, if you were going to really go for this scam, the smart thing would have been take some of that money and hire a ghostwriter or, a script doctor to actually go back and write it so that it's, makes sense and it's professionally done, then stick your daughter's name on there and then try to make the movie based on that. That's what he should have done if you were smart.
Right. Definitely. But we can't say they were very smart about this at all.
No,
but they made a movie, it's out, it's available.
That's not available.
Oh, it's not available. It's not, well, it's available to us to see. If you like look for it, but you're
right. And from what I understand, I think it was even you that may have said that she's pretty much distanced herself from the project and has.
Oh, she changed her name. She is now Sophia Nova. Mm-hmm. She is, she wrote another series that looks just as boring, which I kind of feel bad. Like I don't like bashing her because I think in a way, she didn't know better, in a way, maybe, or whatever, but she should have.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say how complicit she is with her father's scams. I mean, I don't know. I honestly have no idea, and I guess we'll never know. But, at some point along the line, you've got to figure, you have to find something out there to do that you're actually good at. And you have to put aside weird shit. It's like that mutual former friend that we have who thinks that they're going to be a rap star. It's never going to happen. At some point, you got to put that shit aside and get a real job.
Right.
What can I say? It's reality.
Yep. So, sadly enough, I know a lot of people who think that they are rappers. And I just want to say this. Stop. Just stop. Don't do it. Because I know for a fact I can't rap, and I don't even try, because I just know better.
Right.
Some people just don't know better, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Anything that has to do with the arts, you have to be good, you have to be fundamentally sound, you have to be able to write, before you can even rap or sing or write songs or anything like that. So if you don't have the basic foundations, I mean, you're kind of screwed. And, I found out that she was kind of homeschooled in some kind of weird religious thing. So she didn't even get like a regular education. So who the heck knows if she's even gotten to do like math skills or basic skills. She may have not even gotten that stuff. So who knows?
Well, I guess it's time for your rating,
10.
And damn it. I was going to say, John and I both gave it a 10 already.
The question for me is this 10 plus worthy? And that's the thing I had to wrestle with, because that was a new level of 10. Remember that David the Rock Nelson birthed to us with Miss Werewolf. So the one and only 10 plus so far. I gotta say, this came close. This came as close as any other movie that I've seen, because this is worse than Neil Breen. This is worse than Hanneman. This is worse than any of the other tens we've had, with the exception of Miss Werewolf. Miss Werewolf is still.
What was the other guy that you don't? The guy from Virginia that you that we did.
Oh, Charles B. Cullen.
Yeah. So this is like, he's also very close. You know, at least that last one we watched was so bad. It was almost close to whatever. I think we didn't even give it. It didn't even get a 30 because of Paige.
Yeah.
So should have gotten a 30 because that one's terrible. Well,
all of those movies have at least a fun factor to them. This one had zero fun to it. That's the main reason why I was like, oh my God, I'm so close. But in the end, I think we're going to have to stick with our pal David the Rock Nelson as being the only 10 plus out there.
This is close.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it came close.
I don't know.
Because you know what? David the Rock Nelson is not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. He knows what he's doing. He knows what it is. And he doesn't care. He's making his movies and he's having fun with it. He's not trying to cheat anybody or tell anybody something, you know, that he's making this great thing and et cetera. You know, he knows what's going on.
Also, he doesn't stop and cut when somebody comes up and talks to him. You know, and he just keeps rolling. Keep rolling. You know?
All footage is good footage.
Oh, Lord. Well, I guess that's it. This, you know, it's funny. I should have known, because when you, I sent it to you, you know, the response that you gave me was, are you trying to beat me with, what is it?
Turkish Star Wars.
And what's the other
and
one?
Lycan Colony.
Like, are you trying? And I also had Busted, which was a 30 as well. If you watch that movie, that movie is rough. Even Corey Feldman disowns it. I watch these movies. I put these movies this year that even the directors have disowned because, you know, it's, they need to get out there, you know, or whatever.
I know. That's why I was like, you're making me get into my medium level stink from here on out. I've been going soft on you guys.
You have, but we've had, I mean, this year you've been given, or this season, you've been giving us more 30s than anybody else.
Did finally bring out Nick Zed.
You brought out Nick Zed. You also, I don't know, is this out before the other one? I don't want to mention something before this one comes out.
Yeah, we're kind of ahead, so we have a few.
So I have to figure out what
we have a few surprises coming.
You already gave us Die Hard Dracula, which is almost a 30.
Oh my goodness. Loved Die Hard Dracula.
I know you did. Lycan Colony, Geek Maggot Bingo.
Oh, Geek Maggot Bingo. My goodness. It's hard to believe that I'm in a position where I can say that I've shown Geek Maggot Bingo to people and people are like, that's pretty bad, but I've seen worse. I'm like, wow.
Yep. And then, yep. So you also gave us Last Vampire on Earth, which did not get a 30, but should have almost close. I didn't even give it a 10 though. And then Marina Monster.
Marina Monster.
And these are all your movies, I'm saying. So I'm just saying, you've been pretty rough this year anyway. I've only given two, you've given like five or so, you know, four or five. So don't be saying you're not going rough or whatever. You've been pretty rough.
I haven't even brought out Weasels Rip My Flesh yet. I haven't even brought out Andy Milligan yet. There's just so much out there.
I know, but you know, just so everybody knows, there are going to be probably a couple more 30s because we already got a couple more planned. But then there's going to be a few that are just fun, you know.
Yeah, we've like got that. Some fun ones coming up too.
Yeah, because so. we don't want to give nothing but 30s, but you know. But it's been high. It's been up in the 20s most of the time. Like, there has been very little below 20. Which is
we took it to the next level this season.
Well, we've had more extra movies. So we took it to a different level. But thank you guys for checking this out and letting us know If you ever get a chance to see Maridonia, please let us know what you think.
Maridonia and the Shadow Empire.
Yeah, there was a there's been other podcasts that have talked about this. They've gotten a chance to see it, so they've talked about this. So we're not the first or only, but good.
There's a significant rabbit hole on Reddit that goes into all kinds of discussions about all kinds of stuff. So if you want to go down that rabbit hole, that's the place to go.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that. So thank you guys for checking this out.
Hopefully Mr. Mooney will contact Miss Nova, whatever, and maybe he can get her on our show. How awesome would that be? Talk on Indie Film Cafe Spotlight.
I'm sure you're on
first name basis with her already, aren't you?
I am actually following her on Twitter.
I knew it.
I just have to know what she's doing. I got to know what she's doing because she's married now. She is, with the sadly passing of her father, you know, there's a lot going on. So, you know, with her, but she is, she's definitely somebody who I kind of feel bad, you know, that we're sort of going into this big, you know, thing about, but like you put a movie out there, this is what's going to end up happening. Even if you try to get rid of it so nobody finds it, people are going to find it. There's no way to get rid of it. You can't
retract anything from the internet. Once it's out there, it's out there forever. Yeah. You know?
That's why I've been taking movies and putting them on unlisted on YouTube, because you just don't know. They may disappear at some point or whatever.
Unless you've got the skills of a Neil Breen who can hack his way into the internet and retrieve all his movies and get them back. You know, that's hard to do.
Yeah, I gotta buy a Neil Breen movie at some point.
Yes.
You know, yeah, but I haven't. All they're just too, it's just too fucking expensive. I don't know how you afford it.
Worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Well, thank you guys for checking this out. Join me next week. I'll do another one, and then it'll be a Paul one. So just get ready. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye.